Four series. One's going to be on chemistry of the Bible. Now, this cannot be totally inclusive. I just picked three compounds that I'd like to talk about today and see what impact it had on people at that time and, of course, on us. I'm going to ask my beautiful assistant to give a short questionnaire to the Floyd family. And they'll be the only ones participating in this. And the instructions are on there. We'll talk about it later. And what does that mean? Okay, so what do you observe? I like optical illusions. The point I try to make is in science, people can be fooled. Even people that are Christians can be fooled. So what do you observe? Kind of intertwine lines there? No. Of course, you've been in enough of these optical illusions, you realize four circles. The point that I make is that if you can be fooled, guess what science could be? Science could be wrong. Agreed? So, the first one I'm going to talk about is vinegar. Do you know the vow of the Nazarite? You know what that is? Here it is. Numbers 6:3. They must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or other fermented drink. So here's the word vinegar. Now, I try to be scholarly, you know, a Hebrew, study Hebrew. Somebody says, do you know any Hebrew? Well, I know a little Hebrew. He runs a restaurant up on the west side. So that apparently is the Hebrew for vinegar. And the word transliterated into English is homez. If you had made the Nazarite vow, if you had made it, and by the way, Jesus did not make the Nazarite vow. He was a Nazarene, right? But he did not make the Nazarite vow. Could you consume any of these four? Or would any of them be out? Grape nuts is interesting. It's not grapes. It's not nuts. But it's grape nuts. Grape nuts flakes, which Lori and I both like. They really are flakes, but they're not grapes, so they're not nuts. So which would be eliminated from your diet?
First two.
Correct, the first two. You could not have those. Now, what is vinegar? Vinegar is an acidic liquid produced through the fermentation of ethanol by acetic acid bacteria. The vinegar I'm going to use today is about 4% acetic acid. Now, as a chemist, this would appeal to me. What is a chemical reaction? Here it is. And when you put something above the arrow, like that, does anyone know what that means? It's not a reactant, it's not a product, it's a condition, or in this case, a catalyst. All right, you say, my dad drove a catalyst. Here's another one. Acetaldehyde goes to acetic acid, and so on. Another mention of vinegar. In Ruth 2:14, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread, and dip it in wine vinegar. Wine vinegar? Bahomas. Bahomas. Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Could you drink straight vinegar? Could you imagine what it does to the teeth? By the way, all acids are sour. Vinegar is very sour. So this is the word cahomas. And then to complete the thought with all the homas, this word mahomes, and you know that. Now, I need someone to look up Daniel 14:3 for me. Would somebody do that for me? 14:3. And when you get there, let me know. Because in Daniel 14:3 is the vow of the Decaphonite. Despite being good to the last drop, they must abstain from coffee and other caffeinated drink. Wherefore, you must not touch anything that has the aroma. Caffeinated, there's the word, inekaf. All right? Somebody find that verse? Pardon me? There's only 12 chapters. Never mind. Here's, that's where it is. Here's another word that's used in the Old Testament, niter. Jeremiah 2:22. For though thou wash with thee with niter and take thee much soap, there's niter, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. The New King James Version calls it lye. By the way, you would not wash your hands with lye. Let me tell you a story. I had a friend who worked at a factory up in the Chicago area, and he was turning the valve on a 50% lye solution into a bucket. He leaned over, one drop of sodium hydroxide, which is lye, hit him on the eye. I watched his eye turn red, brown, green, black in the next year. He lost all vision. One drop. Now, that's not a true story, but at least it's interesting. No, that is a true story. Yes?
I want to ask you a question just because of what you brought up. My mom was raised more back in the time when it was never kind of homeopathic, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, when I was a little kid and I would have like a fever, she had this little clear jar bottle called Spirit of Niter. And she put it on the bottom of my feet and drop on my forehead. You know, was there anything good about that?
Was she baptizing you?
No.
I think that the niter here is probably not lye, but something we're going to talk about coming up here.
Okay.
Probably sodium carbonate. Probably. So there's the word, the Hebrew word for niter. You absolutely would not wash your hands with that, unless you were interested in washing the skin off. I don't know. Can I say that? So, properly the word is natron. All the years I taught chemistry, 39 years, I would always, you know, here's sulfur, S, chlorine, Cl, hydrogen, H, but sodium, Na? And I would say, the Na comes from natrium, which is the Greek word. I wasn't quite right. And by the way, these four lessons have taken me out of my comfort zone and been very interesting study for me. All of these have been. So properly, natron, a substance so called because rising from the bottom of the lake Natron in Egypt. All right. Let me show you where Lake Natron is. And by the way, you can see what Alexandria, Cairo, Lake Natron. I was talking to a student one time and I said, that's denial. And he said, no, it isn't. I said, no, that's denial. He says, no, it isn't. I said, that's denial. So here is a satellite view of it. There's Lake Natron. We're located right there. So there's Lake Michigan. There's one of the Twin Lakes. There's the other Twin Lake. And right there is the Klein House. Right there, looking at the Twin Lakes and Lake Michigan to the north. And here it is, the Klein House. So they probably went to the lake several times. And here it is. By the way, I actually learned a ton. Do you know what a wadi is? What is it? It's a what? That's exactly what it is. It's an area. It could be a valley. It could be just some kind of an area that dries up in the dry season and fills up in the rainy season. So apparently this stuff that they would mine from here, natron, is carbonate of soda. Sodium carbonate. Now, let's look at the reaction of vinegar with nitre. Could I have a volunteer? You don't have to know chemistry, you just have to follow the instructions I give you. Come on up. All right, would you put on the safety goggles, please? Yeah, right over the top. Right over the top. All right, the first thing I want you to do, now I went to the store and checked, and washing soda or sodium carbonate was about $10, and I'm going, man, we can do the same thing with sodium bicarbonate, so why not do that? How about a couple of scoops of raisins, a couple of scoops of sodium bicarbonate in the hatch there, or all over, that's fine. That's enough. Go ahead. What's a few grams of sodium bicarbonate among friends, right? All right, now we're going to add to it some vinegar. That helps? You want him to come around here? All right. What you need to be is invisible so everybody can see, all right? And you're just going to put a glug in there. I'll tell you what, do a mini glug. Oh, I don't know, a couple of... Just a mouthful. A mouthful. Let's add some more. It's Lori's vinegar, so... Now, what's happening is the acetic acid in the vinegar, and by the way, the other 95%, 96% is water. So add some more. You can see something coming off of it. This is bubbling. And I stopped early in my career when they say evolution of a gas. I did not use that word. I used formation of a gas. Thank you. You can leave the goggles. We'll come back to that. I thought that was always cool. I could do chemistry experiments, you know, halfway through the class. What do you do in Spanish class? Cinco? Cinco? Is that what a boat does? So, here's the word reaction. Vinegar reacts with sodium carbonate. I use sodium bicarbonate to form sodium acetate, water, and carbon dioxide. And you notice the carbon dioxide coming off. And chemists like to use the shorthand. There's the acetic acid. There's sodium carbonate, not sodium bicarbonate, forming sodium acetate and H2O and carbon dioxide. By the way, chemists are not happy with the way this equation is written. Do you know why? It's not balanced. It is not balanced. We realize we cannot create or destroy anything. You say, you don't know my grandchildren. So we'll balance the equation. All right? Salt. Now, salt is mentioned a number of times in the Old and New Testament. You realize that? Here's a little participation. How many times is salt mentioned in the King James Version of the Bible? I'm going to give you some choices here. That does remind me, I had some student in my class say, I like multiple choice tests because here's how I take the multiple choice test. Oh, that hurts the most. C. Okay, How many think 10? How many think 20? How many think 31? How many think 41? How many think over 100? You all didn't vote. We're going to do this again. Okay. It is not over 100. It's not 31. Most of you got it right. It's not 10. It's not 20. 41 times in the Bible, King James Version of the Bible, salt is mentioned. Now, I want to talk about salt. In just a minute, I need to develop another concept here. Could you get those answer sheets from the Floyd family? This happened on February 3rd, 2022. You remember it? You guys got 14 feet of snow. Yeah? And do you know whose driveway this is? I bet the people who voted knows whose driveway this is. That's interesting. That's interesting. That's interesting. That's interesting. That's interesting. Okay. I guess they're playing the... Have you seen The Price is Right? Why are they... It should be, The Price is Closed, but make sure you're under. They should change the name of that show. Well, this happened on February 3rd, 2022. And here was the question that I asked the Floyds. How long is the Floyd driveway from garage door to the curb? Is this what you want your pastor and their family to be doing on a Saturday when they should be getting ready for church the next day? I asked them to answer in feet, please. So here's what I'm talking about. From there to there. Got it? All right. Now, I did not go to their driveway and measure it. But we are going to offer a prize to the person who's closest. We do it. We actually do. Lori gave me an extra allowance this week. And I use this little caliper program. It's really kind of neat. It's a free program. Of course, we took the overhead shot here from the satellite. I measured that distance. You go, oh, well, it looks like it's about 6 inches. No, I needed a reference point, didn't I? So, I went to Loeb Stadium. Aerial shot. I know the distance from home plate to the pitcher's rubber, which is 60 feet, 6 inches. I measured, oh, by the way, I had to square that up, right? Otherwise, we're going to have an error of parallax. You go, I like that. Science teacher's talking words that I never heard of before. I measured that. It's a proportion. You know, if this distance is 60.6 or 60 and a half feet, and so on, just set up a proportion and you got it. I also... I didn't know that. Just push the space bar. I don't think I need that anymore. I also use a tennis court to back it up, right? The science isn't settled. If somebody says that to you, they're not scientists. The science is not settled. It's always open for question. So I did the calculation, the length of the tennis court, the length in pixels, the length of the driveway, the length in pixels. Solved a simple equation, put those numbers in. I knew a tennis court was 78 feet long. I didn't know it. I looked it up. I got the length of the driveway, 169 feet. Okay? Do the math. Oh, let me do one more thing. I've got four numbers here. I spent some amount of time, because every time I did it, something went wrong. It's the nature of science. I averaged it 172. So, how many yards is that? How many feet in a yard? Depends on how good the barbecue is. What is that, about 60 yards? It's about 60 yards? Is that what you want your family, your pastoral family doing?
Yes.
Oh, and I always tell the kids, circle the answer. In 39 years of teaching, I never had one student say this, "Mr. Clark, that's not a circle. That's an ellipse." Never did anybody say that. All right. Before awarding our prize for the closest answer to the actual length of the driveway, I want to talk about something. I think the deacons should jump in on this. I call it the Floyd fake flake avoidance solution. We don't want them shoveling 60 yards of snow, 17 feet of snow, spending the whole week doing that. So, my first suggestion is move to Wisconsin. When you guys were having 14 feet of snow, you know what we had? I know this because our grandson did a little snow angel. He wore a pair of trunks, went out, jumped in the snow bank, and sent it to us. I said, "Grandma's going to do that up here." Here's our front yard. The day you had that amount of snow. They moved to Wisconsin, there might be a little bit of a commute problem, would you say?
Yeah.
Maybe. His trip to Shipshawana would have been 8 hours instead of 2 hours, 2.5 hours, or whatever it was. So, we're going to throw that one out. Now, here's where the salt comes in. 65 tons of sodium chloride dropped off right in the front of their driveway, and all they have to do is spread that during the winter. And now, this might be a problem with the neighbors, with the lawn, trying to get in there when the 65 tons of, by the way, chemists do not say salt melts ice and snow. We say salt lowers the freezing point. The effect is the same. That's not going to work. So, cross those first two out. I came up with a third idea. You guys might want to vote on this. A home relocation plan. Here's the idea. We'll take the home and we'll move it to the... Now, instead of 60 yards, they'll have what? 10 or 15 feet? We can handle that, right? Then somebody says, "Well, that's kind of a waste." But you can do it. You can move a house. So we'll put in an Olympic-sized baptistry in the back of the yard and a little play area for the youth group and stuff like that. All right? Now, we've conducted just a preliminary survey of different people in the church as to whether they would like to do this. And I can bring the plans to the deacons if they want. And this preliminary survey said that most people were in favor of this idea. That's why I asked you to have the kids there. I had a kid, "Mr. Clark, don't make fun of me in class. I never mentioned his name again." I don't know how I think these kids will take it. So, here's the items, the supplier, and the cost. Moving the house, Jones and Sons, $11,500. Backfill the foundation, Lee Excavating, $2,500. Landscaping, Vector Associates, $1,500. Baptistry, Newton Enterprises, $14,000. Bribing local officials, Huddleston Brothers, $7,600 in small unmarked bills. Consulting, D. Clark, $18,999. And legal, by Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, $8,100. All right, now, before we declare a winner, do any of the Floyds recognize a big problem, a huge problem in moving the house. I'd see, okay, what is it? What's that? We can backfill that basement. That's not it. Pardon me? Ah, that might be a problem. I moved the neighbor's house. When I was done, the amount of time I spent on it, I'm going, I'm not going to redo that. We'll just call Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe and get it taken care of. I'm going to give this certificate to my beautiful assistant. I'm telling you, they weren't even close. The closest one was Kelly, who said 100 feet. And so that goes to Pastor. This is a beautiful certificate from Dollar and a Quarter Tree. You really shouldn't make fun of that. Lori and I had our wedding registry there. So now salt. Mark 9:50. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? There's the salt. Lori was watching as I went through the presentation, and she said, here you go. And I go, you've been around me too much. Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Here's the word for salt. Melach. Melach is the phonetic spelling. Sodium chloride. Now, all good classrooms have a periodic chart. Actually, I had a history teacher at Frontier. I gave him a tiny periodic chart and he put it up. I said, now you're a real teacher. So, on the left side of the chart are the metals. On the right side of the chart are the non-metals. You're teaching this chemistry. So, I'm going to take sodium. And I'm going to take chlorine. By the way, it's interesting. Both substances are poisonous. You would not put sodium in your mouth, and you would not breathe chlorine. Sodium would explode in your mouth. You put them together, it's an essential compound that the human body needs. Salt adds flavor. Apparently, salt breaks the cell walls in vegetables, fruits, meats, and releasing the flavor. As a result, this allows us to enjoy the natural flavor of foods. Now, I quote this biblical nutritionist. I think she had some excellent points. Annette Reeder. To be salt and light, your presence is designed to uplift, enhance, and bring light and glory to your Father, not to destroy or harm others. Further, our very essence and duty is to be salt and light. Therefore, we become the beautiful creation that our Father in heaven has created. I don't think we're going to have time for this video.
Kind of a superhero. Without it, French fries are bland, potato chips are boring, chocolate chip cookies lose their pop. And that's because salt doesn't just make things salty. It has lots of effects on flavor perception. In fact, if you're thinking about a spoonful of sugar helping them...
Okay. Was salt used to pay Roman soldiers? How many say yes? How many say no? I went to some sources. According to 5 sources, yes. The only dissenting opinion was CNN. CNN, according to Wolf Blitzkrieg, said, we find overwhelming evidence that Trump's campaign colluded with the Russians. 2.5 years of Russian collusion. They're a one-trick pony. I didn't ask them about salt. Laura Ingraham, Fox News, said, make America thirsty again. Salt has been used as a preservative for much of human history. The first recorded use of salt was 3000 BC. Salting the earth or sowing with salt, you spread it in the soil of conquered lands by conquerors in order to prevent crops from ever growing there. I'm not an expert, but I'm guessing if I ask Bob, they probably don't sow the seeds you sell along with salt. And he says no. On that reader, salt is a covenant. Salt is used as a preservative, which means it is instrumental for making things last longer. In Israel, in the Middle East, they did not have refrigeration. They used salt to preserve. So when we say covenant salt, it simply means that the covenant is perpetual and not to be broken. Just as how salt preserves. In Leviticus 2:13, and every offering of your grain offering, you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Salt is a symbol of friendship and loyalty. Salt is a preservative. Likewise, Jesus Christ represents salt. He preserves life, sustains life, and is faithful to His promise to us. This I find extremely interesting. You have to have sodium ions in your body. Sometimes the cell can have too much, and the sodium ions have to be pumped out, the potassium ions have to be pumped in. If you don't do that, life for you will be over.
Active transport is a type of cell transport that requires the input of energy in the form of ATP. The proteins that conduct this form of transport are often called pumps because they force molecules or ions to move from an area of low concentration to an area of high concentration. This is commonly referred to as against the concentration gradient. One of the more common examples of active transport is the sodium-potassium pump. The job of the sodium-potassium pump is to move sodium ions, or Na+, out of the cell, and potassium ions, or K+, into the cell. Let's take a closer look at how this happens. The sodium-potassium pump has binding sites for 3 sodium and 2 potassium ions. Let's follow the movement of the sodium ions first. After 3 sodium ions are positioned within the carrier protein, an ATP molecule is split, releasing phosphate. This phosphate binds to a location on the exterior of the carrier protein, causing the protein to change shape. As the protein changes shape, the 3 sodium ions are released to the other side of the membrane. Next, 2 potassium ions position themselves within the carrier protein, causing it to undergo another change in shape. In the process, the phosphate molecule is released. Once the phosphate molecule is released, the carrier protein expels the potassium ions into the interior of the cell. The carrier then resumes its initial shape, completing the cycle. Notice that for every 3 sodium ions leaving the cell, 2 potassium ions enter. Since both sodium and potassium ions have a positive charge, this unequal movement causes an electrical gradient to develop across the plasma membrane of the cell. A number of cellular processes, including the generation of nerve impulses, use this electrical gradient.
By the way, you could not do this if it wasn't for that. Everything had to be at one time. It can't evolve over millions of years. They deny this. Evolutionists deny this. The sodium-potassium pump. Nerve cells cannot operate without sodium ions. That sodium-potassium jumps between the dendrite and the nerve cell and sends that pulse to your brain. The sodium-potassium pump is responsible for responding to stimuli and transmitting impulses. Salt is a valuable mineral. Too little sodium can lead to hyponatremia. Look at that word in there, nadir. Symptoms of dizziness, confusion, muscle twitches, seizures. Too much sodium has been linked to osteoporosis, kidney disease, hypertension, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, and stroke. Here's another salt. Here's my periodic table. All I have to do is pick something from the left and something from the right. I'm going to pick potassium and chlorine. Again, both are poisonous. Put them together, an essential salt. Potassium chloride. If some of you are on low sodium diets, you're using potassium chloride. Here's another salt. Sodium and fluorine. When I was a kid, they bragged about toothpaste having fluoristan. Crest had fluoristan. Some people call it stannous fluoride. That's just a fluoride compound. One time I got my toothpaste, I think it came, or I'll tell you how long ago. I looked at the ingredients, it said sodium fluoride. Here's another salt. Potassium and iodine. Potassium iodide. This is kind of interesting. Jesse, do you want to do this again? Or does somebody else want to volunteer to demonstrate? Okay, it looks like by default, you're it. You will definitely need the safety goggles here. You will definitely, and we're going to try not to spill this time. All right. I got this at $1.25. I got it because I need a little mass on there so you don't accidentally tip it over. And what we need is hydrogen peroxide. Do you have hydrogen peroxide at home?
Sure.
What percentage is it?
3%.
You literally can brush your teeth in it. You could drink it. This stuff, we will not let him drink it. This is 35%. 35%. Do you want to pour it or do you want me to? Okay. Smart guy. I don't usually even worry about concentrated hydrochloric acid, but I know hydrogen peroxide, if I spill it on myself, will instantly turn me white. I thought you already were white. Whiter. It will bleach the skin instantly. Now, what do you use the hydrogen peroxide for? We use it to brush our teeth. Both of them. So what do you use it at home for?
Disinfectant.
What happens when it hits the blood? If you got a cut and you put hydrogen peroxide, it bubbles up, doesn't it? I'll talk about that in a second. So, tell I'm not a doctor. It takes me forever to put the rubber gloves on. But I did sleep at the Holiday Inn Express last night. We have a dishwasher at home. Her name is Laurie. We actually have a dishwasher, and we kind of split. We got dirty dishes at home now, don't we? Because I got up at 5 o'clock. I was having trouble with the presentation. So I'm going to use 50 to 75 milliliters. This stuff you cannot get at the store. I got it via FedEx. The Postal Service would not handle it. UPS would not handle it. It was like, not this bottle. I've got a bigger bottle at home. And it was like $50 and $20 to ship it. So we'll put... think that's enough? Okay, we'll go with that. And I did put on there, danger, 35%. to remind myself, don't brush your teeth without it. All right, how about a couple of squirts of soap in there? I hope you know how to use that. Okay. All right, good enough. You can actually see. This is pretty interesting. Look at that decomposing right in front of our eyes. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Yes. Riveting. What color do you think we should put in there? Blue? That's a good choice. The only reason I'm going to do this is because if you get this on you... Go ahead, a couple drops in there. Let's see if we turn it... Oh, yeah, that's nice. I was a little bit afraid that... because I haven't done this food coloring before, that the food coloring might cause the reaction to go. Now, this is potassium iodide, the previous salt. This is a salt, potassium iodide. So let me just talk about this. This is potassium iodide. It is a catalyst. This will help the decomposition to go faster, but it's not used up in the chemical reaction. All right? Bless you. Are you allergic to potassium iodide? I was talking about the person's sneeze. Okay, and we'll take about, I don't know. That looks good. Can you go down the hatch with that? Very good. I haven't heard the right word yet out of anybody's mouth. You're supposed to say, cool! To which I go, no, hot. It's very hot. I was a little concerned that the dollar and a quarter container might break. You don't know if it's Pyrex, Kymex. And you can see I was being careful. I did this in another church, and we actually spilled onto the carpet, and it stained the carpet. I came by an hour later, and the stain was gone. Very good. Now, what happened is the H2O2 is breaking apart into water and oxygen. That's the chemical reaction that potassium iodide promoted. Now, why does it bubble when it hits blood in the bloodstream? It has hit a catalyst, but a catalyst in the bloodstream is called an enzyme. So when that hydrogen peroxide hits the blood and the enzyme in the blood causes it to break down, that's when it bubbles. And you know you've disinfected. Okay? Thank you. Very good. Did you lick the spoon? So, again, the chemists, hydrogen peroxide decomposes on its own. H2O2 goes to H2O and oxygen. Chemists don't like that equation. Why? Not balanced. Now it is balanced. We neither create nor destroy in ordinary chemical reactions. You actually can destroy when you start talking about nuclear reactions. And I've used a potassium iodide as a catalyst to cause it to break down more quickly. And that's pretty impressive. Yeah, see, you're going to have to come when I show that other places, because that worked out well. So here are some salts. I'm assuming that one in the middle is sodium chloride. It may or may not be. Here are some ideas that I have if I talk about chemistry in the future. Maybe sulfur, tin, lead, gold, silver. All, in this case, elements mentioned in the Bible. That's exactly my thought. Have everybody bring the gold and silver. And salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. And I am done. Yes?
What you presented, I found very interesting. I would say I don't understand that. I agree, but here's my question overall. Everything you said this morning shows, like the previous idea, things that are specific, precise, complex, as can get designed for a chemical evolution. Where did it go with this? Evolution, my understanding, is sort of a cosmic randomness sort of thing. So, did it design this or ignore it?
No, a chemist would say this. Hydrogen reacted with itself to form helium. Helium reacted with hydrogen to form helium. And between helium and helium, they formed all the other elements. But you've asked a question that I ask myself all the time. What is the alternative? There is a creator, and I am responsible to him. And I do not like that answer. Richard Dawkins, one time, that kind of a question came up, and Dawkins said, "Well, here I am." What, that's evidence that you evolved from a lower life form? Here I am. That's it. So, that's the same question I ask myself often. In fact, Laurie can tell you the story about a discussion we had with a Christian woman in our neighborhood. And I just finally said, okay, I'm done arguing about it. Do you want to leave some prayer?